I didn't join sports with the goal of dominating competition or being better than anyone else. No one would go through the bullying and self-hatred of transition purely to win a sport, especially women's sports, which are underappreciated in our nation.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
When we first started, I wasn't really sure how long we were all going to be at home, Will. But now it looks like we're going to be at home for some time.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Dominica decriminalizes queer sex as Iraq outlaws it, New Hampshire trans teen high jumps for equality, and COVID lockdown lessons in light and sound. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Daniel Lucias.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 27th, 2024. The High Court of Dominica has decriminalized same-gender sex. The British colonial-era laws were enhanced by the Eastern Caribbean island nation in 1998 to send convicted offenders to prison for up to 12 years. The statutes also outlawed anal sex between heterosexual couples. It was all unconstitutional according to the top court's April 23rd ruling. A native Dominican gay man challenged the laws at the High Court in 2019. Already verbally and physically assaulted because of his sexuality, he argued that those laws made him feel unsafe. For obvious reasons, he insists on anonymity. He says that his intention was to protect all LGBTQ Dominicans from being threatened. Justice Kimberly Sinak Fulgens wrote that laws banning private consensual adult sex violated constitutional rights to liberty, freedom of expression, and protection of personal privacy. Anti-queer sex laws from the colonial era are falling like dominoes in the Caribbean. In recent years, they've been repealed in Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, St. Kitts and Nevis, and Trinidad and Tobago. The former British Caribbean colonies of Guyana, Grenada, Jamaica, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines still outlaw queer sex. In Jamaica and St. Vincent and the Grenadines, recent court rulings upholding those laws are being appealed.
Same-gender sex is currently not specifically against the law in Iraq, but a measure to change that is being considered in Parliament. An amendment to an anti-prostitution bill includes the death penalty or life in prison for private consensual adult queer relations, sex trafficking, and wife swapping. It punishes promoting homosexuality with up to 7 years behind bars. Transgender women could face up to 3 years in prison for imitating women, according to Human Rights Watch. The bill was second on Parliament's agenda on April 15th, but a vote was postponed, supposedly due to time constraints and pending amendments. However, some observers believe that Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani's Oval Office visit with U.S. President Joe Biden that day was the real reason. Their conversation reportedly focused on increased U.S. investment. While Iraq is being threatened with economic sanctions from a number of Western nations, just like Uganda has been for its so-called Kill the Gays law. It's unclear now when the controversial measure might be back on the legislative agenda. Parliament is embroiled in factional divisions, unable to elect a permanent speaker.
Scotland and Wales are both feeling the continuing fallout from the controversial CAS review of pediatric gender-affirming care by England's National Health Service. The review questions long-standing research recommending puberty blockers and hormone therapies as treatment options for young people whose sense of self contradicts their gender assigned at birth. Scotland's only youth gender clinic has paused prescribing puberty blockers for patients under the age of 18. The Sandyford Clinic in Glasgow won't start new patients aged 16 and 17 on hormone treatments until they turn 18. Current patients won't be affected. Published in mid-April, the NHS England's CAS review was prompted by a surge in the number of young people seeking gender-affirming healthcare. Meanwhile, the National Health Service Wales commissions its Paediatric Gender Identity Services from NHS England so puberty blockers and hormone therapies for children won't be available there either. Supporters of the treatment blockades call them pauses pending further research, and not bans. They say that most patients currently receiving treatments can continue to do so. Both puberty blockers and hormone therapies are reversible and are routinely prescribed in many countries.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants to purge all transgender and gender nonconforming public school teachers. Several of his Republican cronies have echoed their governor's decree. Although expelling gender variant teachers who express their identity in the classroom would be a clear violation of federal laws banning discrimination in education and employment. Abbott was first elected governor in 2014. He's been as passionate about crushing LGBTQ rights as he has been about denying access to abortion and persecuting migrants. Abbott has gleefully ushered a slew of laws through his Republican-controlled legislature that have targeted trans rights in particular, including bathroom bills and sports bans. Drag shows have been another favorite. Earlier this year, Equality Texas and other queer advocacy groups appealed to the United Nations to intervene. They urged the UN to raise alarm about the deteriorating human rights situation in the Lone Star State. Abbott responded on social media, "The UN can go pound sand."
Threats of violence from far-right Christian nationalists could not stop Maine's Governor Janet Mills from declaring her state to be a sanctuary for abortion providers, transgender people, and their health care providers. Legislation signed by the Democratic governor this week proclaims, "Interference with access to such services or the provision of such services is against the public policy of this state." Some Republican opponents claimed that the legislation would open the door to widespread child trafficking, one calling it the transgender trafficking bill. Trump-supporting extremists were among those who made bomb threats, causing the Maine State House and the offices of the state's Democratic Party to be evacuated in early March. Some specific lawmakers were threatened after rabidly anti-queer libs of TikTok influencer Chaya Raichik raged against the measure on social media and published the names and email addresses of the bill's major sponsors, according to the Maine Morning Star. The measure has inspired a chorus of accolades from queer and human rights groups. In the words of Equality Maine's Gia Drew, "This bill couldn't come into effect at a better time. As more than 40% of states across the country have either banned or attempted to block access to reproductive care, which includes abortions as well as transgender health care for minors." Similar legislation has been approved in Massachusetts and Vermont.
An estimated 15,000 people celebrated in the streets of Shibuya Ward for the 30th Tokyo Rainbow Pride Parade, one of Japan's largest annual queer gatherings. The April 21st parade capped a weekend of related events, many backed by major corporations including Panasonic, Mizuho, and NEC. For the first time, the major corporate business lobby, Keizai Daiki, the Japan Association of Corporate Executives, had a parade entry. Several Japanese municipalities have recognized same-gender couples to the extent that they can, but the conservative federal government has resisted growing public support for marriage equality or even anti-bias legislation. The theme of this year's Pride March was, "Don't give up until we make change."
Finally,
we're back! It's season 16, and this time around, we're doing things a little bit different.
Nymphia Wind is the first East Asian and first Taiwanese winner of the original RuPaul's Drag Race series. Known in civilian life as Liu Xiao, the victorious dragster calls her customary bright yellow outfits a mixture of camp and pop art. She's often adorned with sexual innuendo-inducing bananas, and in one stage of the competition, she dressed as a flower in a pot. Asian influences are also standard in her presentations.
Asia and Taiwan hopefully have made you proud. And this is going to be the bananification of 2025.
After 16 seasons, Wind may be the first Drag Race winner to be celebrated by her country of origin's head of state. she was stunned by a salute from Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen, who wrote on social media, "Congratulations to you, Nymphia Wind, for being so accomplished in the difficult art form of drag, and for being the first Taiwanese to take the stage and win on RuPaul's Drag Race. Right after being crowned queen, you said, 'Taiwan, this is for you.' Taiwan thanks you for living fearlessly."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending April 27th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay healthy.
And I'm Daniel Wasias. Stay safe.
This just in from Baghdad. The bill to criminalize same-gender sex, being transgender, and supporting LGBTQ rights quietly passed the Iraqi parliament on April 27th. Death penalty and life imprisonment clauses were dropped from the final version. The law on combating prostitution and homosexuality now provides for sentences of 10 to 15 years for gay or lesbian sexual activity and up to 7 years for queer allyship. Gender-affirming surgery is a crime for both patients and doctors, punishable by 1 to 3 years in prison. Men who dress in an effeminate manner face the same fate. Medical intervention on intersex people is excluded. Just over half the members of parliament were present, but the vast majority of those in attendance voted in favor. Lead sponsor of the bill, MP Raed Al-Maliki, confirmed that the vote was postponed until after Prime Minister Mohammed Shia Al-Sudani's meeting with President Joe Biden on U.S. investment. Western nations have already warned that the law could discourage economic support for Iraq, but Al-Maliki told Agence France-Presse, "It is an internal matter, and we do not accept any interference in Iraqi affairs." Officials from Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch call the new law a fundamental violation of human rights. An Iraqi lesbian businesswoman identified as Samar told CNN that she's now desperate to get out of the country. She said, "Let it be illegal migration. I'd rather die on the way than stay in Iraq." Listen to This Way Out for ongoing coverage.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
I think performers and artists were sort of the first ones in the Australian economy to lose all their work. Mm. It takes about a week to get over the sadness and go, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" But then you just got to sort of dust yourself off and try and think outside the square and just try as many things as possible.
COVID-born creativity later in the program. But first...
Something wrong in the village, in the village. Oh, they're there in the village, in the village. Oh.
New Hampshire's high school high jump champ leapt above the adults in the state Senate this week. In an education committee hearing on a trans exclusion bill, this young witness scored big.
Good morning, or I suppose at this point, afternoon, House Education Committee. My name is Mayel Jacques, a 16-year-old sophomore from Newbury, and I'm here to testify in opposition of SB 375. Throughout my entire life, sports have been an integral part to my belonging, playing soccer since the age of 3. When I began my transition in the 6th grade, my school welcomed me onto the girls' team. This act of being able to be a part of the teams I belonged to allowed me to skip through the phase of social ostracization as the other girls accepted me for who I was and welcomed me, especially by their locker room rituals, like the ones where we go around and give a word of how we wanted to perform that game. Being part of the team allowed me to be seen as normal wherever else I could be perceived as a pariah. I didn't join sports with the goal of dominating competition or being better than anyone else. No one would go through the bullying and self-hatred of transition purely to win a sport, especially women's sports, which are underappreciated in our nation. I joined because it's something I'm passionate about and enjoy. If banned from sports teams and locker rooms, joining the male teams wouldn't even be a choice for me with the bullying and threats I'd receive, let alone the mental anguish I'd go through being forced to be someone I'm not. Thank you for your consideration, and please vote in opposition to SB 375. Sincerely, Mael Jacques.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Woodcock?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for waiting around. I know this started at 11 o'clock this morning. Just a question. In your participation in sports, have you had any other teams complain or ask you to leave or stop the game?
Never. All the other teams have been very supportive. The only problems I've received are from outside parties, like media sources and whatnot. I've never received anything negative from other teams and coaches and players.
Athletes are athletes.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
New Hampshire trans student athlete Mael Jacques was questioned by State Senator Stephen Woodcock. After hearing from her and several others, the Education Committee defeated the trans sports ban by a vote of 19-1.
There's nothing wrong with you. It's true. It's true. There's something wrong with the village. With the village. Something wrong with the village.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? I don't think so.
If you're asking whether you were better off 4 years ago, one thing everybody did get good at under the COVID lockdown in 2020 was adaptation. This Way Out Sydney correspondent William Broom learned how an Australian tradition was reimagined then.
I'd dance and I'd sing, I'd do anything just to get my name in lights. I gotta try to hit the heights now that I'm free as a breeze again. Oh, nimble knees again.
Hi, James Brecco Breckney. Welcome to This Way Out.
Hi, William. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. For people who are outside Sydney, how would you best sum up Vivid Sydney?
Well, it's just an incredible, incredible festival of, you know, of art and light and projections. In Sydney, you know, it's really become an annual event that's quite massive here. And it's just gorgeous. And the beautiful thing with the festival, it's a two-week festival. So you can go to the Opera House, you can go to the Harbour Bridge, you can go and see all the buildings that are lit up, and you can go over sort of 2 weeks. And it's just a beautiful time to see the city of Sydney just lit up beautifully. And a mix of art, a mix of very, you know, very just popular projections and things that make people happy. So it's a brilliant festival. It's really sad it's not happening this year.
It's very sad, but you have made the most of it and you've adapted.
DIY Vivid is a concept I sort of came up with my mate Ben a couple of weeks ago to sort of keep the Sydney Vivid Festival spirit alive in this sort of COVID-19 isolation period where people can make their own sort of Vivid happen from home. Now, our concept is like, get those Christmas lights on your balcony, create your own little art installation with lights and bubbles and things, and share the photos online.
And it's a great way to get the community involved, isn't it?
We've had such a great response. Over 1,000 people are going to the event on Facebook. We have like over 4,000 people interested. You got to try and do some happy things during this period, don't you?
Absolutely. And it's about involving the community and including people and putting smiles on their faces.
Yeah, I hope so. Especially in the inner cities where you're overlooking other people's apartments, how hilarious it will be on the 22nd of May when hopefully quite a few apartments are all lit up. It'll feel like Christmas.
It's going to be amazing. It'll be Christmas again. And right now, that's exactly what we need, I think.
For we
right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Need a little Christmas now.
Yeah, we've had the Today Show over here at my house, and we've had Channel 7 as well. And yeah, it initially just went off bananas on Facebook, so we're really looking forward to it coming. We're actually going to have it a little bit earlier in April, but we've pushed it now to the same time as Sydney Vivid in May, because when we first started, I wasn't really sure how long we were all going to be at home, Will, but now it looks like we're going to be at home for some time.
It certainly looks like it. I don't think I'll be going anywhere for a while. Now, you yourself are very resourceful. You're great at coming up with initiatives and ideas, and you're very much part of the LGBTIQ community here in Sydney in Australia. You're a professional gay, and we love you for it. We remember you at the marriage equality rallies.
I got engaged at the marriage equality rally, and I got married at Mardi Gras. I was on the board of Mardi Gras. I do Mardi Gras floats every year, but my bread and butter, Will, has been trivia nights, 4 or 5 nights a week.
So how are you coping? What are you doing?
Well, it was really tough at first. My residency, you know, I'm at the Imperial Hotel on Mondays, usually, amongst other clubs. And it was just really sad it all having to be put on hold and cancelled for now. But luckily, I've started doing an online trivia on Tuesday nights and an online music bingo on Thursdays. And I'm taking a lot of, doing a lot of work groups, a lot of corporate bookings for work team trivia, like your Friday night drinks or your Thursday night drinks. And I've actually got quite a bit of work, so I've been so blessed and so lucky. It's been really, really awesome. It's so lovely seeing everyone try to help each other out with leads and everything, and everyone in the community trying to support everybody else, particularly performers and artists who've finding it really tough right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Music Bingo on this lovely Thursday evening. All you have to do as I DJ the tracks is stamp the songs off your card. The first person to get 5 songs left to write, SMS the number on the screen, and we're going to give you a prize. Let's have a good night tonight, everyone. Let's do it.
That's brilliant. And it's so good that you're sort of involved in the community.
Yeah, I mean, I give some advice to some people out there if they're doing it tough, because I think performers and artists were sort of the first ones in the Australian economy to lose all their work. Mm. It takes about a week to get over the sadness and go, oh my God, what am I going to do? But then you just got to sort of dust yourself off and try and think outside the square and just try as many things as possible.
Now, a little bit more about you. You mentioned you were a member of the Mardi Gras board. I talked about you being at marriage equality rallies. But of course, way back, going quite a few years back, you were very much involved with a rainbow chalking, weren't you?
Yeah, that's probably my first claim to fame, which was just an absolute dream. And this was when the state government tore up the rainbow crossing on Oxford Street. As a joke, Will, and, you know, not intending it to be too crazy, I chalked a rainbow behind my terrace in Surrey Hills. And then all of a sudden it became a bit of a movement, and everyone started chalking rainbows all across Sydney, all across Australia, and then the world. I had Thailand and Russia and Indonesia and heaps in America, and Facebook flew me over to the States, and I got to chalk a rainbow at the Facebook headquarters there in 2014, 2015. And so that was a whirlwind. And I was always a bit of a radio host and a bit of a performer before that, but that was my first sort of delve into activism, and it was a dream come true. It was so much fun, and that's really where I became a lot more heavily linked with the community and doing LGBTQI sort of activism work.
I've got to ask you, those jackets of yours, your trademark bright jackets, how did they come about?
I was always known in my local area for wearing a gold sequins jacket. And then slowly but surely, not only did my body weight increase a little bit, but so did the things that I used to stick on the jackets. So now I've got lots of pom-poms is what I tend to stick on the shoulders. And I always get the spelling wrong, Will, but I think they're called epaulettes or whatever the soldiers wear, or, you know, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Cross Band. And then you love to get creative. It's basically I'm a cheap drag queen, no makeup, no wigs. And I just decorate the jackets, and, you know, I get paid the same in the corporate world. So that's good. And it's cheaper and it's quicker to get ready. It only takes me 15 minutes. I'm lazy.
We love you, James Brecco Breckney, your fixture of the Sydney community. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me, William. Have a great one.
This is William Broom in Sydney, Australia for This Way Out.
I'll sit on a flagpole, whatever the rage, just to get my picture on the front page, just to get my name, just to get my name, just to get my name.
The 2024 Vivid Sydney will feature an array of music, ideas, food, and of course lights, May 24th through June 15th, all drawn together by the artistic direction Vivid Sydney Humanity. Greco is back to hosting events 5 nights a week, as well as corporate events by day. Like Greco's DIY Vivid Festival, many of the queer community's trademark entertainment events perfected the art of virtual performance. The Boston Gay Men's Chorus and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus each paid online tributes to first responders, frontline healthcare personnel, and other essential workers. The Boston Gay Men's Chorus blends music, dance, and storytelling in its Friends of Dorothy show, June 1st to 15th. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus joins with the San Francisco Symphony for a concert called All You Need Is Love on June 18th. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Danielle Wisius and Michael LeBeau and produced by Brian DeShazer. You heard music by Tom Petty, Ravel, The Beatles, Peter Allen, Hugh Jackman, the Boston Gay Men's Chorus, and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Beaupre and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on KUR Kurtztown, Pennsylvania, BridgeRadioPA.com, Perth, Andover, New Brunswick, WUML Lowell, Massachusetts, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.